Good morning, James McGrath.
Andy Gaunt, how are you doing on this fine Sunday morning or Sunday night, whatever it is?
What? Yeah, Sunday night where I am, it's pitch black. I'm doing good. Do you know what we had sunshine today, so I'm a happy camper.
Very nice. I've got to ask, did you finish Dune?
I did finish Dune. Yes, I did, and I liked it. I'm about it.
Okay.
I'm definitely about it.
Very good.
You did say that Captain Kirk or Jean-Luc Picard or Lando Calrissian or someone was going to come in at the end.
Did you not see that?
And they did not unless it was in like a post-credits scene, maybe I missed.
Yeah, that might be the Snyder cut. I'm not sure. Yeah, you probably got a different version in Australia.
It might have been. Wow, I mean, everyone, we're here to talk Porsches, but we're talking science fiction movies. But we've got a great guest today. So should we start the show?
Let's get it on. Welcome to Curb and Canyon.
James, our guest this week, he is someone who I reckon will be familiar to anyone that goes hunting for Porsche content on YouTube. And in fact, his 992 GT3 Touring Coffee Run video, do you know that was our first ever video of the week? First ever.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. He's been putting out amazing content since, I think, 2015, 2016, maybe. Cinematic videos that honestly rival the work of much bigger productions. And some might argue...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some might argue he's got an unfair advantage with the Swiss Alps as his backdrop and some of the world's most delicious cars as his subjects, and that may be true, but he brings a level of craft and care to his videos that truly sets him apart. Add to that, he's got this like everyman approach when it comes to talking about cars, which I love, and very, very fine work with a stills camera, and I reckon you've got a recipe for something very cool. You've heard him say holy moly and chow for now for years, and I'm very pleased to say that this week, he's our special guest. It's Luke from Cars with Luke. Luke, welcome.
Hi, guys. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was
quite funny
listening to you talk so good of me, but much appreciated.
Well, do you know what? Last time we did one of those intros was with Henry Catchpole, and James interrupted me halfway through and suggested that our guest was actually Joey from Friends. And Henry laughed good-naturedly, but I'm not sure he wasn't offended, James.
No, I know. And it was because I think the prompt you gave me at the beginning of that conversation was, don't give the game away. So I thought, how best not to give the game away by completely throwing a curveball? Because, you know, it could have been Joey from Friends. I mean, it could have been. He was on TV driving cars for a while, right?
He was.
Yeah, I don't know who enjoyed really watching him do that, but...
I did like him eating the sandwich in the 911R. I thought that was okay.
Look, I've reached out to Matt's people and, you know, so far they haven't got back to me, but, I'm not giving up hope. We'll get him on air one day.
Is that right? I would have thought they'd be all over our podcast. Anyway, Luke, welcome. It's so good to have you on. It's taken us a little while to make this work. And
slightly. I think over a year.
Look, I may have hassled a little bit gently from time to time. I think I said to the other day, I wasn't sure when I reached out to you whether you thought, who is this? Is this real? Do these guys even have a podcast or are they just trying to get my money somehow?
No, not at all. I mean, I've listened to a few of your podcasts and it was just, I think I was just overwhelmed with so many podcast invites the last year. I just couldn't keep track of anything anymore.
Yeah,
I was just struggling to keep track of my own time alone and juggling three jobs. And so, but yeah, I definitely kept you hanging for a good year before we got here.
It's funny. James, were you thinking when Luke said that he was overwhelmed then that he was going to say overwhelmed by the quality of our banter?
And that, of course.
Oh, no. Not even for a second.
Well, so Luke, for those who don't know and those who are living under a rock, who are you and what is Cars with Luke?
That is a good question. I've never really thought about it, to be honest. I'm just a guy that's trying to do what he loves and trying to do it regularly and pay my bills by doing what I love. I think that simplifies it. It's just combining the things I love, which are filming, photos, cars, mountain passes, mountains in general, just being out exploring, driving, and sharing that passion with so many like-minded people. That's all I am, really. It's just a guy trying his best to live his dream, I guess you could say.
That's beautiful.
Doing it successfully, one would say.
I mean, I'm learning every day, and a lot of the time I'm not thinking about what I'm doing too much. I think it's more other people think about what I'm doing, but with me it's just more like a feeling. And I'm really learning every single day. I'm super grateful for everyone that gives so many compliments on my filming and storytelling, and you know, they feel emotions and it touches them, some videos, and it's they feel like they are with me in the car, which is really important. I mean, it means the world to me when I hear this from people. But I'm still figuring it out. You know, it's been like 7 years, I think, since I started my YouTube channel, at which I started it as not a joke, but it was really, it was like silly fun. And I thought, God, no one's ever going to watch this junk. And I also had no idea what I was doing then. It's been 7 years now. But like I said, still learning every day and trying to figure out which direction I want to go. Now, I thought it would get easier as I get bigger, but it did in one way, then also became harder in other ways that I never even thought about. So who knows? Just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And who knows? Maybe I get to produce a movie one day. That's definitely a big goal of mine, to produce a real big movie or be part of more film productions. That's what really excites me.
That's cool. Maybe a Transformers film set in the
Alps. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Yep,
I'm very much down for that, yeah.
when you started way back when, you said it kind of started as a joke. I can't imagine you had in your head, or maybe you did, a vision of what your channel would ultimately become and where you would take it, and you've made some stylistic choices over the journey that I think have defined the look of your channel and the tone of it. Mm-hmm. At the start, was it just what made you decide, hey, I'm going to film myself driving around in a car and put it on YouTube and see what happens?
It's funny thinking about it. I guess a few reasons. First, it was a dream of mine. So I was the classic petrolhead kid that grew up watching Top Gear daily. Literally, it was my Bible. It was just everything to me. I was obsessed with watching those guys have fun in cars. It was the dream. So I'd kept that with me my whole life until one day I just said, come on, I've got to give it a go. I want to try filming cars. I'd always enjoyed filming and photography and storytelling. I think I was quite a kind of a late bloomer, I guess. I was very insecure, I still am mostly, but very shy. Otherwise, I'm not someone that wanted to be on camera.
Yeah.
I was quite a quiet person, hence I love filming in the Alps alone. I can have a lot of enjoyment from that.
Yeah, right.
I just said it was one of those moments. I was really unhappy in my job, and it was kind of now or never thing. So I just tried. That was for sure the hardest part, was just putting yourself out there at the beginning.
Yeah,
but I'm obviously very happy I did go through that now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I love that. Do you, and James, I don't know if you were a watcher of Top Gear, is there a segment that you look back on and think, that one really just captured my imagination and has stuck with me ever since? Is there a Top Gear segment that really did that for you?
For me, I don't know. I guess you could say I'm just such a star whore that the best moments of those shows were watching the stars race around the lap. Yeah, totally.
That is,
and
so you.
Like just listening to them talk about themselves a little bit, and then actually see them, you know, not on TV but behind the wheel, and like I remember Cameron Diaz was absolutely awesome. Tom Cruise, you know, seemed to be relatively sincere, and he was quite happy with his results. It was always those moments, to be honest. It was just like, okay, yeah, I can do that myself in my little Ford Fiesta. You know, put me in a Fiesta and get me on that ring and I'll have a go.
Definitely looked fun. And Luke, what about you? There must have been some influential segments for you and what you've gone on to do.
Sure. Not one in particular. I was actually, funnily enough, watching it last night on this is channel called Dave, and they play old Dave. Top with such a man channel.
Yeah, Dave.
They play old episodes of Top Gear. So it's super nostalgic, obviously, watching them. Last night I watched the Burma special from, I think, 2007.
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, with Hammond when he has Oliver, which he still has now.
Yep.
And I think I liked them all as much as each other. And the cool wool, that was, I really enjoyed the cool wool, which was on last night. Missed that a lot. They were all kind of equally as good as each other. As you said, the guests they had on it was always fun. It was it was for me just the dream. I think any episode they always did magic.
Yeah, and not with big budgets. I'm led to believe, or at least not
really.
Not in those early days. I'm sure that towards the back end they were BBC were probably throwing money at it, but. Yeah, my understanding is that in the early days, it wasn't as budget heavy as you might imagine. And I think you're so right, though. There was this great chemistry between the three of them that I think is really difficult to just replicate. They just, the combination just worked. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can't. It was really, it was just happiness. It was, for me, my happy place.
Yeah. Yeah.
To watch that.
Why cars? Where's the cars interest come from?
I honestly don't know. Growing up as a kid, I was just always obsessed with them as far as I can remember. You know, if I saw anything interesting, I would just be staring at it visually, and the sound. I was just always attracted to them from as far back as I can remember. Obsessed, actually, I guess you could say. I can't really say where it comes from. I just never wanted to stop looking at cars. I used to buy these, when I was living in the UK, the Auto Trader was this car magazine for selling cars, you know? And I mean, I was like 7 years old and I would just flip through it. I would literally memorize every single car in there and facts and prices. I was really, really, I guess you can say, obsessed with it.
It's funny how when you're young, you do that and you fold over pages where there's a car that you're interested in and you circle it as though you might buy it one day, even though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I still do it now. I mean, I just got bigger and older, but I'm still doing it.
Don't we all? I was talking about this with a friend and saying I constantly have car sales, which is our, I guess, Auto Trader in Australia. I have that open all the time. All the time, looking through it. And James has his open all the time, and then sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning sends emails to dealers and buys cars.
I know, right? This week is the week.
Is this the week?
I've got 24 hours left on... It is, yeah. So I've got 24 hours left on my auction on P-Car Market for my 996, and then I'm picking up a 991.2 on Friday. On my way back from a business trip.
Perfect.
So, I just can't. The last few days, I haven't been able to do anything but look at autotrader.com, which actually goes back to the UK for me as well, Luke.
Yeah.
Because Autotrader was the place.
It was.
And I'm just like, I'm constantly looking over the listing of the car that I'm buying and the car that I'm selling, just like constantly. How's it doing selling? Is it still there? What about my car? Is it gone yet? You know, it's just, I'm obsessed as well.
Joe, it makes me think, actually, every time I've bought a car or even been considering buying a car, I end up trawling YouTube, right, and watching every single piece of film I can about that car. So, when I was looking for a 981 GT4, I watched all the videos. There was a Piston Heads video comparing the 981 with the 718. I reckon I watched it 10 times. Luke, your first one where you drove a friend's silver one, watched that a whole bunch of times as well. Do you do that? And if so, where do you go to watch this kind of content?
Yeah, I just like you. I mean, when I have a car in my head, I think I watch every video on YouTube about it. And to the extent I know I have, because now when I search cars that I know I've searched a lot, I have to put the search settings to, you know, recently uploaded.
Yeah.
And then I'm refreshing. I'm like, okay, I've really watched every video about it on YouTube.
Yeah. I always love when they start giving you options in different languages.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, now we're desperate, so...
You're done with English there, mate. We're going to give you now some Arabic because we've scraped YouTube at this point. My friend bought a 991.2 GTS, and I must say he had told me at the time he'd watched you did a drive of one of those pretty early on. I think it was when you were on the hunt to buy your first sports car. There was a Crayon GTS you drove, and he watched that a bunch of times.
Oh, the Crayon one, yeah, that was
a nice car, that one.
Yeah, that's, I find that one frustrating for me. That car was the one that got away, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the spec on it was so nice. I really wanted it. I mean, I don't know what job I was working in, some horrific job, and I could barely afford to eat, let alone buy such a car. And they actually offered me a leasing on the car, and it somehow would have gone through. Don't ask me how, but I kind of wish I'd just gone for it, even though I couldn't afford it, because that car also ended up going up in value because it was right year. It was a manual. It had ceramics, the right color. And I remember seeing it come back online a year later with triple the kilometers and for more money. Right. And I was like, I should have gone for it.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know what? We've all got those regrets, but let's talk, because currently you've just taken possession of a GT4 RS. Am I right?
Yes, last week.
Holy wow!
Whoa! Wow.
Now tell me, is it too loud for the road, or is it okay?
I mean, you can drive it normally. When you're just driving normally, it's totally reasonable for any. You know, anyone who likes cars, it's totally reasonable to drive normally. It's only loud when you're pushing it.
Yeah, right. Well, because it's interesting, that one. I've seen, again, I've watched all the reviews, not with an intention to buy this time, but it just depends who you watch, right? Like Catchpole says, the sound isn't a problem, and then other people say it's too loud, and it literally depends who you're listening to.
Yeah, it depends exactly. I mean, we all have... very different, hearing and sensitivity levels. And it depends what you want to use it for. If you want to just go full throttle the whole time, then, maybe it is too loud.
Yeah. Do you, because, looking at, let's talk about your car journey. What was the time delay between, if you look at, say, a video where you were driving something like that 991.2 GTS, and then I think you got a 981 GTS, is that right?
That was my first Porsche.
That's a pretty good first Porsche.
It is I really liked the car at the time. I had a very bad experience with the car, which actually I never talked about because it was so stressful. I never got around to making a video about it. It was a very bad buying experience, and the car ended up having quite some issues, which caused quite some stress. So my first ever Porsche was actually a horrible experience. No, it was definitely not positive at all. But that was nothing on the brand. That was on the garage that sold it to me.
Right.
And
Well, I bet you're glad I brought it up.
I am. Yeah.
But then since then, what have we got? Like 2 718 GT4s, a 992 GT3. And now GT4 RS. They're all big hitters. What is it that draws you to those big hitting GT cars?
First, just the feeling. You know, anyone who's ever tried a GT car on a twisty road, there's not much that can compare with it, especially not in that price range. I think the next step would be you know, spending double the amount or. So first, it's just the feeling, it's the way it steers, it's the feedback, it's the sounds, and not talking about the exhaust sound. It's the it's the gearbox, it's the straight cut gears. Yeah. It's you feel that you're just driving a race car on the road and have just endless fun having that experience. It feels so special, but at the same time, as loud as they can be and are. You can drive them normal and you have luggage space. So it really does work also in the real world. Yes, my GT4S, is quite hard suspension, but I don't mind it. I'm kind of used to it. I like sometimes bouncing around a bit, and the roads here are so good. It's not a big issue. I think in the UK or something, it might be different, but it really depends on where you live. That's why I see sometimes people talking bad about certain cars and suspension, but they forget about it. Really depends on where you live and what roads you have.
Right.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I think Lee Sibley from Total 911 and Nineworks Radio was talking. I think he did a review on the Carrera T, and he was saying, it's almost at the point where Porsche need to do a UK spec version of their cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I hear a lot of UK YouTubers and carjet complain about the roads and about suspension. And I think, I've driven that car and had no problems.
Yeah.
So the roads must be so bad in the UK now. That's what it sounds like anyway.
Yeah, not much different here in Australia.
So having come from the UK and driven in the UK in the last year, the roads there are perfect compared to the roads we have in the United States.
Is that right?
We must be... Oh my God, there are so many cities that have crumbling roads, crumbling infrastructure. I mean, I don't want to start talking politics, but it's pretty embarrassing. even with my Cayenne on the comfort suspension setting, you can still feel like you're getting kicked in the balls as you're driving down the road. Right. It's just terrible. Yeah, the roads here, man. If they did a US spec, a true US spec, I think everybody would be driving Safari 911s with massive bouncy springs. Mm-hmm. That's the quality of the roads here.
Well, that is pretty much the James spec, though, because, Luke, I know you like a car that's quite lower. James tends to have his cars. Mm-hmm. Would we say they're lifted, James, or are they just factory settings?
No, it's stock. It's factory. It's a thing. Luke, let me ask you about this, Luke, because this really gets me. So, lowered cars, all right. Mm-hmm. What I like about the factory ride height is that the perfect circle of the wheel fits perfectly into the semicircle of the wheel arch. It aesthetically, I think it looks really nice. It lines up. The minute you start lowering the cars, they just look odd. Then you lose symmetry. I can't do it. They look odd. They drive me nuts. Where are you on this?
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. I mean, it's one of those things, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. So
listen to Luke trying to be diplomatic. He's trying very hard to be diplomatic here.
I am not. I mean, I don't judge anyone, and you know, the casting can be quite you know, bitchy at times. And I just think, come on, guys. It's I mean, it's great that we all like different things. It would be so boring if we all did the same thing.
That's
and
true.
I like what you said. So I'm obsessed with symmetry. So I totally understand that. But at the same time, I think I hate the gap between the wheel and the arch even more than
oh,
the
really?
On that occasion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I never would want the wheel going into the arch. I still have a couple of millimeters gap. It's not like flat.
Yeah.
But it's very close to being just above the tire. And I think on, depending on the car, I think on Porsche GT cars, I just love them when they're low. I think, it looks like, again, a real race car for the road. And I do like the feeling too, not just visually. I do like how it feels even lower. I'm definitely not making it more practical, but I think most petrol heads, we don't do things to be practical most of the time. It's based on, you know, looks and feeling and sacrifices if it scratches the front lip sometimes. But I also have a front lift system on the GT4 RS, so okay. At the moment I've had no problems.
Can I just say, Luke, that was the most Swiss response I've ever heard. do they teach you this diplomacy and this neutrality in school? That was the
I think
perfect
I've
response.
Just been here too long. I've just that's as simple as that. I'm just neutral. I'm sat here waving my white flag, just, you know, like keeping my gold underneath the floor as they do here and there. We're neutral, honestly.
I got it. Yeah.
I don't have any gold. I just want to make that clear. I wish I did, but I totally don't.
James, that's a big accusation from someone who couldn't decide if they liked the 911 ST or not when we last recorded.
That's true.
You were well on the fence. Enough. Speaking of which, Luke, 911 ST, are you a yay or a nay? What are your first thoughts on this car?
I mean, for sure, I'm a yay for just for how amazing the car looks and sounds. It looks spectacular. But then as soon as you see the price tag, you start to question it a bit. I did a configuration with a few options and was straight at just over 400,000 Swiss francs.
Whoa.
And you're like, okay, it's cool. Then you look at it from a distance, you're like, okay, that could be a normal Touring if you didn't know. And you see, okay, it's got magnesium wheels, but you don't see that. And it's got the carbon fiber roll cage, looks magnificent.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, of course, at a first glance, it doesn't look that much different from a regular 911 Touring. So yeah, it's a tough one. I think the car would be simply incredible as ultimate one car, possibly for everything, but the price is another point.
I agree. Anyway, I don't think any of us will. Well, do you know what? You'll probably get a chance to drive one. I hope so. I look forward to that video.
Yeah, no, I like to. Well, I think I'm confident enough to say I will definitely. In Switzerland, I assume a lot of them will be sold because they have huge market here in Switzerland. It's absolute Porsche country.
Yes.
So I will find a way to get my hands on one. Either I guess there will be a press car going around eventually, but when, I don't know. And yeah, like we all know, I'm going to see them for sale here next summer, I bet, for 600K plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like always, that's going to be reality.
Yeah, indeed.
It's time to liquidate some of that gold, Luke.
Just pull up the floorboards.
I might just pull up the floorboards. You never know. There might actually just be some hidden here.
Right. It can't hurt to try, right? Like just at it least one right? board. Have a look.
So funny.
Luke, what is it for you about Porsche? Because you talk about being a car nut since you were young and watching Top Gear and doing these sorts of things. And you've driven everything, right? Like you've driven Ferraris and Lambos and Mercs, Audis, all of it. Why do you keep circling back to this brand? Why Porsche?
First of all, I never actually liked the brand until, not even when I first started my YouTube channel. I didn't hate the brand, of course. It was just I didn't have any feeling or connection to Porsche. So growing up, yeah. I loved the idea of the definition of a supercar, which was then, you know, a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, something loud and bright in your face. That's what I was obsessed with. If you would ask me when I was 18 what my dream car would have been, it would have been some kind of Lamborghini. And Switzerland actually got me into Porsche. So coming here, I started to make videos for fun, and because there's so many Porsche enthusiasts here, I just ended up being around them a lot. And right. Even then, I wasn't that attracted to them. I still liked this idea of a more in-your-face supercar, like you would have a poster on your wall. And it was a friend, well, a guy I met at the time who's now still turned into one of my best friends here. He had a GT3 RS and 991, and he took me out in it. And I'd never been in a Porsche GT car before, and it all made sense once I got to drive it for the first time. And once you feel it for the first time, and then you go back to like driving an R8 or something, you're like, it just feels a bit numb after that. And that was it. So that's what I tell people. I say, as soon as you get to try your first GT car, then I feel like that's it. It's game over, because to try and find something that competes with it is really tough.
Yeah. Let's get inside baseball a little bit on the way you produce your content, because as I said in the intro, you've got this beautiful cinematic approach, and it seems as though you made a very deliberate choice from the get-go that you were going to produce content with a real focus on high production values and to really set it apart, which I have to say I think you've done successfully. Why not, though, just smash out content with a GoPro or a little Sony handy cam?
Gives me shivers when you say that. Smash out content.
But you know what I mean? Like, you could, but people do that and are very successful doing it. You look at people like Shmi, you know, he just pumps out content and it works really well for his channel. Yeah, why do you not take that path?
I just don't have it.
You know what? You just gave me the answer and said, I just shiver when I say it.
It does. Oh, God, I feel sick. Everyone has to find their own thing, of course. When I started YouTube, I mean, I was also still quite late to the game then. The car YouTuber thing had already taken off, and I'm someone that was obsessed and still am with film. I always, you know, dreamt of being a filmmaker or a producer. So quality has always been important to me when watching a video. And then I said to myself, okay, I can't be another car vlogger. There's too many already.
Yep.
What can I bring to the table that's different? How can I be different from everyone else? And I thought, okay, I'm going to try and push the quality, because that's also what I enjoy. I kind of regretted it at the time.
Yeah,
because I started doing this high quality, and then it became a headache. And then I thought, oh God, I wish I could put out more videos, but it was just, I just can't. If you want to film something that's more meaningful, it's just, well, by yourself, it's very time consuming. So that's the route I took, and I questioned it for many years. But in the end, it was without a doubt the best thing, one of the best things I did, that I stuck with it, because it's definitely paying off now and bigger brands notice it. And I just want to make one video a week that's of a certain standard. I mean, some I'm not happy with still. Some are quite rushed. Like, I filmed a Ferrari F40 recently. I had 3 hours to film the video. Which is hard for me to do, to give in and say, okay, today's video is not going to be of my usual standard with like cinematic B-roll and storytelling. It's just, kind of grab and run, and which I do actually also like doing now and again, a bit more raw, just like a real straight up vlog that's in the moment. It's also quite nice to do now as well. So it's a bit of a mix, I guess, of these short films, something in between a short film and a vlog, and then this just bit of a mess vlog, to be honest.
But I think people get those ones though, right? Like, because you'll always say, I've got access to this for a couple of hours. So I think people have enough, whether they really have a sense of what it takes to produce, like you say, cinematic B-roll and the like, I think people get that, yeah, that there's a certain amount of time involved in doing that. So if you've only got the car for a couple of hours, hey, you're going to take us all along for a ride in it and tell us what it's like, rather than spending all of that time shooting B-roll.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice, obviously, for you like to hear that and for you to say that, but I guess everyone doesn't feel the same. I'm also probably quite guilty of putting way too much pressure on myself and thinking that if I upload something that's not to my usual standard, everyone's going to give me grief for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have this standard to keep to, and I need to, I want to, you know, please the viewers, and I want to make them happy. And so I get quite nervous about it. A lot of people have always said to me, yeah, you should upload more. And I definitely wouldn't want to upload, I think, anyway, more than twice a week. I think that changed a lot in the last years. That a few years ago, it was about regular content. I hate even using that word, content, but regular videos. But now I think quality in 2023 is above quantity. That, like you said, there is a couple of YouTubers like Shmi, for example, that he has his thing, it works for him. He has his viewers that like it, and that's great. But for the rest of us, I think there's not, uploading daily vlogs now is not as interesting as it was.
No, I agree. I agree. I think our expectations of what we see on YouTube have evolved too, because YouTube has become a genuine content platform that we tune into in the same way once upon a time we did free-to-air television or cable television. So we have high expectations now.
Yeah, no, we do. We do. Some people definitely have too high expectations. You know, I mean, I can make it's hard. It's a hard game. Sometimes I make movies that I've worked hard on, and, you know, in the end, it's just actually I'm minus in money. It's cost me money. And there's, you know, someone will straight away try to point out something negative on it. But that's just part of it as well. It's tough sometimes. But the majority just sit back and enjoy it and realize, you know, okay, I'm not paying for this. I'm giving my time, but it's not costing me anything. And most people that complain, I'm pretty sure, couldn't do better themselves.
Oh, if they could, they'd be doing it. And
yeah, exactly.
It's funny because I heard a phrase just the other day, and it seems to me to be particularly relevant to creatives, and that is that, you know, we're often Teflon for positives and Velcro for negatives. You know, we can get a million positive comments on a piece of content that you drop, but the one negative comment will be the one that sticks with you and that you stew about.
Yeah, that's a sad truth. It's something that I definitely had to work on over the last years. At the beginning, I think I speak probably for any YouTuber or blogger or creative or anyone out there putting themselves out there on social media. The first times you read a hurtful comment, it hurts. And then after time, you learn to go above it, and you start to realize that nearly all the time, if anyone would say anything hurtful, it's it also means you're doing a good job. You're doing something right.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Do Do you have any that stand out in particular, Andy? It sounds like you're coming from a place of trauma, my friend.
Well, I mean, James, I realize that all of the negative comments on my channel have been written by you, so it's all good.
I left a few as well.
Oh, did you? Thanks.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks very much.
You know, the one comment I got on one of my videos, which still to this day just like makes me laugh, and it always cheers me up, is I did a driving video, and the comment was just simply, more car, less face.
Mm. I mean, it's quite straight to the point, at least.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Swift kick in the nuts.
But it's also constructive feedback. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not saying, hey, you're a moron. It's somewhat constructive.
I think you should put that on a t-shirt, to be honest. More car, less face.
Yeah. Oh, like... That's a good idea. But, you know, I take that one comment in a positive way into every video that I make now. As I shrink my face into the corner and make sure that the focus is on the car.
I think, yeah, that is an interesting topic. That's also something I tried to do that some people recognize that stopped me in the street or write me. They said that they like that the car is the star on my channel. Of course I'm part of it, but I never wanted it to be like, hey, I'm the star, I'm in front of the car. And you see the difference on YouTubers as well. For instance, on like the thumbnails, you see a lot of car YouTubers are standing in front of the car on the thumbnail. And, you know, for me, I look at it like, hey, like, get out of the way. I want to see the car. Like, you should be pushing the car forward. I mean, it's up to you what you do, of course, but, it's about the car firstly, and then I'm just kind of the luggage.
Well, do you know, I did hear actually Matt Farah saying that with all of the videos they release, that the YouTube algorithm seems to work better when you put yourself in front of the car. People just are attracted to a face for some reason. So James, your friend who posted that comment, you know, didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah, right.
But Luke, you do it well though, because you do the, you know, you do things like your nighttime service station shots. So you're in the shot. It's unmistakably a Cars with Luke thumbnail.
Yeah.
But the car is still the hero, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it always will be.
Yeah. The way you deliver, the way you talk about the car when you're driving it, it seems as though you took a deliberate path to, I guess, not try and position yourself as a motoring journalist, but rather just an enthusiast talking about the car from an enthusiast perspective. Is that fair?
Yeah, totally fair. It's what I tell people all the time. It's I never wanted to be a car journalist. I just wanted to have fun with cars. I wanted to share emotion and adventures and create this community. There's plenty of amazing car journalists out there. I think there's also maybe enough. If you want to know details, you know, we all know like certain channels or people we can go to know facts and figures. That was also something I thought about when starting. I felt like everyone was heavily talking about 0-60 and weight and all this stuff. And I used to always sometimes miss, okay, cool, but when am I going to see you have some fun with it? So that was another point where I said, okay, I want to take these cars to amazing locations, to beautiful roads, and kind of let the car do the talking and the smiles and the emotion. And that was just my way at it. Of course, I like talking about some facts and figures, you know.
Sure.
But I don't go too into detail.
Now, do you know, while we've been sitting here talking, I've just had a YouTube notification that your latest video has just dropped.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And it's, so you might have been uploading while you were talking to us.
I was actually multitasking, if I'm honest, for 10 minutes now. I feel
so
quite
if I'm not
bad,
mistaken, but... no, it's all good. You're going to make a living.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I told you, I mean, to find time, it's just been crazy. That's how my days have been. Where it's just to find an hour free, it's been it's been overwhelming.
Yeah, amazing. And if I'm not mistaken, this video features a 964.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tell me about that car.
Well, for you, it's interesting, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, no one else likes them.
Well, it's a friend's. I wanted to film it since quite some time. And so I started filming now this series called Alpine Vibes. Well, I've just named it that now. It's short movies, no talking. It's about showing a road, the car, some surrounding area to give you a real feeling of if maybe you ever wanted to visit there, maybe you just want to see it but never actually want to go there. That's my attempt to try and do more films rather than vlogs. And this car was something different for me. It was I've not had that much experience driving classic cars in general, but this one stood out just based on the looks. It's it's the ultimate bad boy look. And I was obsessed with how it looks to drive. However, it was definitely interesting. It was tiring because I've been spoiled with PDK and Apple CarPlay and air conditioning and all this stuff, and I was like, God, I really have to work in this car. I mean, I was sweating after the day driving that on a pass. It was really hard work, and especially with a nickname as the Widowmaker as well, it was I thought, okay, I need to take care. So it was it was a whole new experience that I loved. Whether I would ever have one, I don't know. If I could really own multiple cars, like three or four cars one day, then yes, for sure. But it's it made my GT4 RS, as hardcore as it is, it made my GT4 RS seem very daily usable.
Yes.
Compared to driving the 964 Turbo.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I think everybody has a sweet spot in terms of the era of car that they just naturally gravitate back towards. And, for example, you've driven so many of the modern cars and owned the modern cars that you can have an experience like that in a 964 where you enjoy it and it's a good time, but still your natural place to play is in the modern stuff. Where if you could only have one, if you could have multiple cars, then maybe you'd consider a classic. But if you can only have one, then it's gonna be something modern. And I'm almost the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I've had my 964 for 7 years now, something like that. I've had a 991, I've had a GT4, but always the 964 is the one constant for me. That's my kind of center spot. I love how Porsche, you just have so many different experiences in different eras. And if you can afford multiples, then they're all great experiences.
I think visually for me, a 964, I wanted for a long time. I just want to look at it, I want to look at it more than to drive it, that's for sure. And I definitely have enjoyed driving a 964 Carrera 4 and now the 911 Turbo 964. Super amazing experiences. It's a whole different thing. But like I said, it wasn't just hard work as in driving. It was the seats are so upright, like a coffin. The lower back pain I had was, I just had to roll out of that car. It made the 918 Spider carbon seats I have in mind seem like sofas.
There was
no leg room on the left, and I'm quite tall, so I had to stop every hour and a half or hour and stretch. And it was fun, don't get me wrong, that's part of the fun, right? But as someone that can only own one sports car at the time, at the moment, I just couldn't do it. It would have to be a third
of course
car.
I wonder if those seats were your favourites, James, the Recaro pole positions, which tend to find their way to a lot of 964s.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. I absolutely can't stand those seats.
No, they don't agree with me.
So James, we're one apiece, right?
Exactly. Like,
Luke agrees with my ride height preferences, but your seat preferences now too. Mm.
All right, that's good. It's a very Swiss. You're 1-1.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Luke, I was saying to you the other day. It's funny when you watch your videos, because you put out so much content and like you say, one a week, it's really easy to get the perception that every time you are driving a mountain pass, mm-hmm. that we're seeing content around that. But I'm sure that's not necessarily the case. Is there a drive you've had, whether it was with cameras or not, but one that just sticks in your memory as an incredibly special one? Is there one that really stands out?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
It really is, yeah. Because I feel like I should know the answer,
it might be multiple, right? Like you might say one now, and then later you'll think, oh, but there was also that time, or this mm-hmm. road, or that drive.
I mean, one very special drive was when I did the first drive in my 992 GT3. A year ago, mm-hmm. up the system pass, because I dreamt about owning a GT3 since, yeah, a very long time. And that whole day was so special. It's definitely one of my favorite videos on my channel because of the community, yeah. of all the people that turned up that evening. I just did one Instagram story and was like, hey, anyone who wants to come hang out. And in the end, it was just, I mean, so many people turned up. It was the perfect lights. Like, I've never seen such beautiful lights up there. It was just the perfect setting. It was definitely, I know some people give me a hard time about it, but it was an emotional evening. It was really touching. It was, I've driven that past loads, but I guess driving up there in my GT3 at that time was like the first drive I did, and it was really special. And apart from that, I guess it would have been the first time I got to drive a GT3 on the San Bernardino Pass around 7 years ago. That was, you know, something I'd never experienced before.
Yep. I can totally understand what you're saying about that 992 GT3 video. I've seen that video, and you know, when you think about it, for you, it's the culmination of so many things, right? It's you've got this achievement where you've finally managed to buy this car that has been the goal, the dream, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for so long, and you've put the work in and finally managed to make that happen. And then to have that moment where you arrive at the top of the mountain and there's all these people that gather, you know, that in itself must have been really gratifying too.
Yeah, that was more than the car in the end, you know, because the people really make it at the end.
Yeah.
It's about sharing these experiences. And that really made the whole evening. And, you know, and when I talk about buying cars as well, just to be clear, because I know people also give a hard time about it. Like, I've always openly said, you know, I pay for my cars monthly. I take my cars on finance, and it's, I want to enjoy such cars now. But obviously I'd never been in a position before where I could think, okay, I can afford to pay that amount monthly and get to live with this car. I know there's lots of different opinions on that, but it was, regardless, it was still, it was a huge moment for me. And I would say, you know, a future goal for me would be that one day, I don't know, maybe I could save enough money that I could order and buy a brand new Porsche GT car. I don't know what it would be in my own configuration, in my own color. And then that would be the one that I eventually keep.
Yeah.
But until then, I won't.
Do you see that? Do you see that being the case, that one day there'd be one that becomes the forever car? Or are you just gravitating towards experiencing different things constantly?
Yeah, I mean, I just love experiencing different cars, as any petrolhead does. Yeah. And of course, the bigger my channel becomes, the more offers I have, the more opportunities I have. So then you end up with all these offers on the table, which are very tempting as a petrolhead. you know, nearly impossible to say no to. So, but I do think, yes, that I would eventually have my car. I don't know what it will be. Maybe it won't even be a new one. Maybe I will find something older that's just me. And I think once, if I'm ever in a position where I could fully buy out a car and say, okay, I own this outright, this is mine, I can afford now just to keep it. And I think, yeah, I would like to anyway. I would like to have not a car collection or so, just like three unique cars, I think would be more than enough for me. I wouldn't really want more than that. And yeah, one of them I would like to keep as a forever car.
Love it. Love it. Now, look, every week on the pod, James and I, we do a video of the week. James, I think you've... how many have you contributed so far? As many as Henry Catchpole, I think.
You know what? Every time I offer up a video, you're like, oh, interesting. Yeah, no, this is the one we're going to use. So I've given up.
Well, and confession time, because the last time you did that, it was one of Luke's videos. I think it was a GT3 RS coffee run video, and there was something else.
That's right.
So, Luke, I'm sorry, you got you got kicked because there was something else that had come out this week that took my attention. Well, anyway, but when we had Henry Catchpole on, he said, can I do video of the week? And we said, yeah, of course. I mean, he's clearly a big fan of ours. Are there any videos that have caught your attention over the last week for our video of the week segment?
I don't think I've watched any the last week, if I'm honest.
You haven't seen James's one, more car, less face?
No, but I really want to. I just want to find that comment and give it a thumbs up.
I love that. Well, yeah, I guess you're so busy, right?
I mean, yeah. Let's say the last weeks have been a bit challenging, to say the least.
Yeah.
As life is sometimes, on and off the camera. For example, I had cancellations with cars because they were damaged the day before, and I had to find other cars last minute for filming. And
oh no!
It was I was meant to have the 992 GT3 RS again last week for a second time, and we'd planned this whole movie to film with it. And I was told the day before that it was someone damaged it. Well. Cleaning it or something. I don't exactly know
what.
So I gave me 12 hours to find another car. It was one of those weeks where everything was challenging. The last 2 weeks I've definitely not done anything apart from work and try to sleep when I can. But I mean, a video it takes a lot for me to really enjoy a video. I think in the last weeks, nothing. The last special car video I watched, I maybe can look quickly, I can't remember what it's called, but it was a short film from Group B Rally, and it was such an incredible piece of work. It was really, it really makes my hair stand up. It was... had quite a famous actor in. I'm bad with names. I'm going to search it now quickly.
Is it the dude from Game of Thrones?
Yes, him. That's it.
Yeah. I know the one. All right, perfect. We can share that. Yeah, it's like a British rally stage, Group B era, when rally was at its most dangerous, most insane.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just called Group B, actually, I think.
Yeah.
It's a short film. Yeah, it's 25 minutes long. And why someone else also hasn't made Group B films up until now.
Right.
This is on my list. But things like this I dream of, but without budget... I can't. And I think I hope one day I can start getting some real budget from somewhere, because I would just give my left arm to be able to produce such movies.
Oh yeah, 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 100%. I've always thought that the production company that made Senna and those films, surely there's just such an opportunity for them to be getting into something about Group B. Mm-hmm. Such a crazy year of racing, right?
Yeah, and just terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
Mental.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if anyone hasn't watched that yet, I can highly recommend it. It's really incredible.
Love it. I love it. Do you know, I had in the back of my head, I thought, if you don't have something, the one thing I was going to point out as my alternative video of the week was the one you did during COVID called The Sunday Escape. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. With
I really GT4. Wanted to talk about that. Yeah. Melbourne was, I'm not sure if we still are, but we had the dubious honor of being the most locked down city in the world. Mm, and at that time, it was terrible. And I remember that film came out and watching it, there was a scene where you left your car, walked into the woods somewhere and lit a fire and cooked a hot dog or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking, All I wanted to do was get in my car and go and do exactly what I'd just seen you do. And I watched that film a bunch of times. It was actually it was quite cathartic for me in a tough time. So thank you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's also why I made it, and I appreciate that. I'm really happy to hear. But it was also why I made it. It was, God, that was a horrible time for most people. And I was really down. I was somewhat depressed. It was worried. It was if I also can't be creative, I'm not in a particularly good place. And I thought, come on, we're not allowed to go anywhere really, you know, apart from locally. So we just wanted to make that short movie. It was the best we could do at the time. It was just an idea, and yeah, it was a lot of fun to make, and I had quite good feedback from it. And I'm really happy, of course, if others enjoyed it and or felt something from it.
No, I did. Luke, final question. If you're informed that after tomorrow you can never drive another Porsche and you can never drive on another twisty road, but tomorrow you can take any Porsche you want on any road you want anywhere in the world, what car are you taking on what road?
I think, although I've driven it too many times, I would have to go back to the System Pass just because it's kind of where it all started for me.
Yeah.
So I would think I would end it there too.
What car? Question, actually.
It is, right? Yeah. Now I know I do.
I would end it there.
I would just dry up, you know, off the top of the cliff, and that would be it, you know?
Just Thelma and Louise style. Just sit.
Yeah, exactly. what car? I guess it would have to. Would it be a GT3? It would be maybe even the 991.2. Manual, because although that's not one I love, it's not necessarily I would buy right now, but it was because it was also where it started for me. It was when I got to drive that car, it was like 5 years ago. It was one of the first GT3s. It was in sapphire blue. It was a friend's car, and he gave it to me for a day to film. And I remember I took it to the System Pass. I drove it up. It had some exhaust on. I had to just figure out what this flat foot shifting is. And it was I was just blown away. So I think, if it had to like end, it would have to end with one of the first best memories I had.
I love that. James, do I need to work out a better final question for our guests? One that's not so quite so devastating.
So it is quite a dark question. You know, like
I just want to finish these things on a downer, Luke. You know, just have you
fine,
walk
mate.
Away.
It's good, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm just gonna go away and have a good think about everything.
Next time. Let's get a Swedish person. We'll get someone from Sweden on next time and ask that question, because they're a particularly bright bunch.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. I mean, but it is, of course, it's sad when you think about it happening and you think, okay, God, can you imagine doing your last drive and then saying, okay, you're not allowed to do this anymore? Yeah, it is quite a dark one.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad I could bring it home strong. Okay. Well, Luke, we know how busy you are, so we genuinely appreciate you taking the time to chat to us. It's been terrific. And if I could just acknowledge you, I think the work you're doing is spectacular. It certainly inspires me.
Absolutely.
I just can't get enough of it. So keep doing what you're doing. And whether it's raw, the non-talking stuff, whatever it is, just keep going, my friend. I really appreciate it.
No, it really, really means a lot of it. So I will do my best. Like I said, still figuring it out. And let's see where the next year goes.
Love it. Love it. Just remember, when in doubt, more car, less face.
I'm pretty sure that I've had very similar comments, so don't be offended by it. And I'm someone that really does show cars more than my face. And I still get those comments. Like, come on, guys, I can't. So, you know, but then I make a movie and they're like, Luke, why don't you talk more? I'm like, okay, give me a break, guys. Like, I can't. But that is part of it. As we all know, it's impossible to please everyone when making a movie, a film, a budget film, or a movie with 20 billion, whatever. You're still going to not please everyone. And that's part of it. But the majority is the important part, and the majority love it. And that's the part to focus on.
That's it. And I reckon the majority love your stuff. Thanks again, Luke.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We'll chat soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
See you, mate. What a good dude, huh? What a nice guy.
Yeah, such a nice guy. Down to earth. Just really, really enjoyed that conversation.
Yeah, same. And really humble, and he knows exactly what he's doing with his channel. Do you know what I mean? He's got a, this is what I do, and others do their thing, and that's great. But I do my thing, and that's what's worked for me, and he's had success with it.
Yeah, totally. It amazes me just the quality of the content he puts out. He talks about wanting to produce a movie at some point. I want to see that movie. Whatever he puts out, I'll be watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%, 100%. Because he's got that real cinematographer's eye. I think the look of his content is always stunning.
Yeah.
And if you've not seen it, I mean, I'm sure you guys have. He's pretty hard to miss on YouTube, and he's driven everything, every great car you can think of, he's driven. So you'll have seen.
Yeah, he gets his hands on some pretty amazing stuff.
Right, I didn't want to admit when he was talking about when we're talking about the ST, and I said, oh, you'll probably get to drive it, and he was just like, oh yeah, of course I will. And all I could think of was my interaction with Porsche of Australia when I asked for a press car and they told me to go and get myself 100,000 subscribers and then we'd talk.
Oh, so funny. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, my man, enjoy your Sunday, and
you too.
Best of luck with the Bluey op auction.
Oh God, yeah, fingers crossed. Whoever told me and convinced me that no reserve was a good idea is right now.
Sphincter closing moment.
Oh my God, yeah. So I'm gonna be on a plane on a flight to Puerto Rico when the auction ends. So I'm hoping.
Oh, so you won't even know. You get off the plane.
I should have in-flight Wi-Fi, hopefully.
Sold for 5K less than you bought it for.
Oh, my God. I just wanted to sell for 5K. we'll see.
No,
we'll see.
You know what? It's a car that's famous. It's attached to one of the world's biggest Porsche stars. It's gonna go great.
Oh, my
great,
God.
Don't worry.
Shut up, man.
Yeah.
Well, now,
more
now
car,
you
less
jinxed
face.
It, so... All right, guys, well, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Cars with Luke, and we will see you in the next one.
Thanks very much, gang. We'll see you soon.